Morning. Today's daf in Krisus is Chafav, we're in Chafay Medbez, we're at the two dots, right where the lines start getting wide. Tana Rabbanan, a continuation, obviously, from yesterday's Gemara. The Gemara yesterday, we were introduced to the Mishnah in Chafay Med Aleph. What is the Hashem Talu categorically? Is it an Adava? Is it a Chova? Is it something in between? So, we covered the Gemara yesterday in the Mishnah, between all the three opinions. The first opinion of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah tells us in this Nadev Adam Hashem Talu B'chol Yom, U'b'chol Eishir, it says, so he's very clear. He says it's an Adava. A person can bring it as a carbon Adava, as I mentioned yesterday. Most probably, Rabbi Eliezer says that the Hashem Talu can also be used for your suffix, meaning it's hard to imagine that he's going to basically retract on everything we learned up until this point in time in the Masechta. But on top of that, also can be brought as an Adava. And if you're in the mood and you're inspired and you want to be, the Mishnah uses the language, you want to be a chassid, so go ahead and bring an Hashem Talu, and you can bring so at any point in time you want. The Chachamim, I'll get to the middle position in just a moment. The Chachamim say no, the Hashem Talu is a carbon chova. It's brought as an obligation. It has to be a formal suffix like we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta. It has to be that you possibly ate Chelev, and under those circumstances, now as a kapar, you bring your Hashem Talu, but only as a chova, not as an adava. And then there's the Shita of Baba Ben Buta. Baba Ben Buta in the Mishnah took somewhere of a middle ground. You bring it on suffik, but it doesn't have to be a suffik chiv kares. It could be a suffik on any avera. You bring it, you possibly ate nevela. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't spell this out, but we saw this in the Gemara very clearly. You possibly ate nevela. Okay, so you bring an Hashem Talui. And for any suffik, you would bring an Hashem Talui. You can bring an Hashem Talui any day you want, because, again, as we pointed out, humanity dictates that we're going to be imperfect and we're going to make mistakes. So you bring an Hashem Talu whenever you want. Remember in the Mishnah, they told them not the day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, so you are, your slate is clean and you're expunged and you're not. There's nothing to bring an Hashem Talu for. So wait a day. So you wait a day and then you're going to be able to bring your Hashem Talu. So fine, so he waited the day after Yom Kippur. But outside of that, he brought an Hashem Talu under any kind of suffix. You want to know categorically where he falls it under? So no, if it were a perfect nadava, he'd bring it the day after Yom Kippur.
Right.
I'm bringing this as a nadava. Voluntary means that I can volunteer, but it has to be something behind the carbon. There has to be some sort of something in between. It has to be some sort of kapara behind the carbon. With that stated, we are now at Tana Rabbanan, picking it up right where we left off yesterday. A lot of words to get through today. Hopefully a little bit of understanding. Hopefully a lot of understanding. Tana Rabbanan, we start with a braisa. Chamisha Shamos. Mechaprim Asham Talui Ein Mechaper. Braisa cryptic. That when it comes to the Chamisha Shamos, so it's Mechaper, but the Asham Talui is not Mechaper. We're contrasting your standard Asham to the Asham Talui. Standard Asham, so for various averus in the Torah, so the Torah dictates that you bring a carbon Asham. We've gone over them back and forth over throughout this Masechta, right? The Shivcha Charufa, the Asham Me'ila, the Asham the Mitzora. Fine, so there are many Ashamas that are brought, many, five. There are five Ashamas that are brought, but they're very clear cut. In other words, they're there for a kapara. You bring them for the kapara, okay, and you move on. However, the Asham Talu is in a Mechaper. Now, in the Gemara, the next two words we have Kapar Gemura. All right, let's take those words out, but either way, clearly the Brice over here is contrasting your standard Asham to the Asham Talu. That's clear. Now, what is the contrast? That's not clear. Okay, good. That's where we're headed to. My Kamar. Gemara is going to offer now two pshatim in this brisa, in this cryptic brisa. So I'm Rav Yosef Hachi Kamar. So our first stab at a pshat is going to be given by Rav Yosef. Chamesha Hashemaz Mechapin Kapar Gemura. So five are going to be providing Kapar Gemura, full Kapara. Vashem Tolei Mechapin Kapar Gemura. But the Hashem Tolei, no. In other words, it's not definitive. Meaning why? So again, for what we said up until now. Everything we said up until now. You bring Hashem Tolei al Safek. Good. Now you are currently in, you've resolved the suffix. But what happens when you discover later on that you for sure violated the Avera? So then you have to bring a Chatos Vadai. Good. So that's the contrast. So basically, Asham Vadai, story now is over. When it comes to the Asham Talui, story's not over. There may be another chapter in the story. Udaloka Rabbi Eliezer Damar Asham Talui Bala Nevela. Now, notes to Gemara, this pshat means that this Brisa can't agree with Rabbi Eliezer. When we say Rabbi Eliezer over here, meaning the Baba Ben Vuta version of Rav Elazar, which is that you bring your Hashem Talui on the possibility of eating nevela. Now consider, is there any more chapters to this story as far as the carbon is concerned? No. No more chapters. Why? Because consider, I may have eaten Nevela. Okay, I'll bring an Ashram Talui. What's next in terms of Karbanos? Nothing. Because let's say for sure I find out I ate Nevela. Okay, you don't bring a Karban Chatzos on a Nevela. Nevela is not Nisar Kares. So as far as Karbanos is concerned, the story is over. So this pshat that Rav Yosef just offered in the Breisa is La'afuke, cannot go with Baba Ben Buta. Ravina Amar Achi Kitani, another pshat in the Breisa. Chamisha Shamos Ein Acher Mechaper Kaparasam Dechim Isyadele Maisi. So here's the contrast. When it comes, this is our second pshat now in the Breisa. When you bring an Ashram Vadai, it means that the Ashram Vadai and only the Ashram Vadai can provide Kapara. That's not true by the Ashram Talui. Something can substitute the Ashram Talui. What's going to be a substitution for the Ashram Talui? Yom Kippur. Ashram Talui, Acher Mechaper Kaparaso. Now, obviously, the key word Yom Kippur is missing over here, but clearly that's what the Braisa means. The Braisa means that Yom Kippur can serve as a substitute for Ashram Talui. Kidid Nan. Chai Vechatas Vashamas Vadain Shaver Aleim Yom Akipurim. Chayam Lahavi Acher Yom Akipurim. Chai Vashamas Taluyim Peturim. So we saw in our Mishnah that if, let's say, you had an Ashram Talui obligation, and now Yom Kippur came and went, so with that passage of Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur takes the place of the Ashram Talui, it's able to provide the Kapara, the same Kapara that the Ashram Talui is able to be Mechaper for. So it's the Ashram Talui, but it's not exclusive to the Ashram Talui. It could be either the Ashram Talui or Yom Kippur. Chai v'chatas v'ashamas v'adain v'chulei ketani chai v'chatas v'ashamas v'adain sha'avar aleim Yom Kippurim. Chayam la'avi la'achir Yom Kippurim, la'achir Yom Kippurim. Chai v'ashamas t'luyim peturim, minani mili. So the Gemara over here now just wants the simple source. These halachas that we learned in our Mishnah. You're on the hook for a chatas v'adai. Okay, Yom Kippur comes and goes. On the other side of Yom Kippur, I still have to bring it. When it's an Ashram Talui, Yom Kippur comes and goes, I don't have to bring it. Good. We know the halacha. What's the source of this halacha? So the Gemara is going to spend some time trying to come up with a source for this halacha. Kiyasa Rav Dimi. So our first approach is going to be that of Rav Dimi. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Going back Amarayim. Amar Kra. V'kiper l'akarsh b'tumas b'nei Yisrael m'pishem l'chol chatasam. So obviously when talking about Yom Kippur and when Yom Kippur is going to accomplish vis-a-vis kapara, so we cite the psukim that are related, obviously, to Yom Kippur. And here in this pasuk, we are speaking specifically about the seer Lashem, the seer that's brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not the seer itself, but the blood of the seer, we all know. Anyway, the Torah says that it provides kapara, mitumus b'nei Yisrael u'mipisheihem l'chol chatasam. So over here, it provides kapara for chet and pesha. Now, what's chet, what's pesha? Now, I know it's going to sound very similar to the Gemaras that we learned in Yuma, but of course, because we're talking about what Yom Kippur affects Kapar for. Chataim dumi de pishayim, ma pishayim de la b'nei karban. So pesha means that I did something intentionally. Is there a karban for an intentional violation? The answer is no. Now, even though the Gemara later on says, that's not always true, but most of the time, no. And so, if the pesha is for something de la b'nei karban, av chataim de la b'nei karban, mechaper. So that means then that the same thing with the chet is concerned as well. It's something which is la b'nei karban. But something that requires a carbon, meaning like a standard carbon chatas. So for that, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. This is the approach of Rav Dimi. Abaye says, I'm not happy with that approach. The pasuk you're citing to me is regarding this year that's brought into where the dam is brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Fine. That's not the seer mishtaleach. That's the seer Lashem. That provides really limited kapara. Right? It's kind of interesting that the most special day and the most special carbon brought into the most special place provides really just a minimum amount of kapara. And specifically what? For Tumas Mikdash. Right? We go back to our Gemaras in Shavuos and we discuss this in detail. It's the first daf in Shavuos. How it provides kapara for Tumas Mikdash. Tumas Mikdash. Now, if you violate Tumas Mikdash, don't you have to bring a carbon all over your raid? Yeah, that's true. If you have a yidi on the front end and a yidi on the back end. If you find out before that you were tameh and you discover afterwards you were tameh and you had a halam in between, so then you bring a carbon all over your raid. But if you don't have a yidi b'sof, so what's there to resolve the violation of Tumas Mikdash? The Seer Lashem. So the Gemara's point is that the Seer Lashem is really limited in its capacity to provide kapara. So fine. So there I'll tell you that if you're talking about the Seer Lashem, limited kapara. Aval Seer HaMishtalech, the Mechaper, Laveres, the Mitzvah Yidua. But when it comes to the Seer HaMishtalech, Sdir Mishalech provides tremendous kapara, even for averas that are known to you. So you are, the Sdir Mishalech is going to provide kavar. Emelecha, afilacha time, debenei karbaninu, mechaper. So therefore, let's suggest that it's going to resolve not only your suffik, but it's also going to resolve the vaday as well. If you have to bring a karban chatas, maybe the Sdir Mishalech is there to provide kapara even for the vaday chatas. Elam Rabbi, so Abai says, okay, so I do not like the source of Rav Dimi. So Abai says, I'm going to give my own source. Now again, he's also going to go back to the Pesukim regarding the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. V'hisvada alav eskol avonos b'nei Yisrael v'eskol pishayim l'chol chatasam. So here, sounds like the same Pasuk. Of course it's not the same Pasuk. This Pasuk is in reference to the Sdir Mishtaleach. And here, the words that are used are Peshan Chet. And the Drasha now is going to be the same Drasha. But the change of Abaye is that the pasuk that he's citing is regarding the Sdir HaMishtaleach. Chatam domi de pesha ima, pesha im de la b'nei karban af, chatam de la b'nei karban. So pesha, obviously, there's no karban for a pesha. No karban for willful violation. Also, we're talking about Yom Kippur only providing kapara for the chait, the non-karban chait. Ava chatam de b'nei karban inu, but for a chait that requires a karban, lo mechaper, de la b'nei, lo mechaper. But as far as the averas that require a karban, so Yom Kippur and the Sdir Mishalech does not provide kapara. That's the source according to Abaye. Umiyai tekra b'Sdir Mishalech lememer dal chatam demnei karban inu lo mechaper. And so that's it. And the Torah creates a miyut. In other words, it's an exclusion, meaning it is a built-in limitation to the Sdir Mishalech that it only provides kapara for non-karban chataim, meaning not something that requires a karban chatas. Amli Rav Dimi mimai dahani pshayim la b'nei karban inu. So Rav Dimi now goes back at Abaye and says, look, how do you know for sure that we're talking about chataim that do not require karban? Dil mahani de b'nei karban ninu kiditnan. You know, sometimes on willful violation, you do bring a karban. We learned it earlier in Ar Masechta. It was the beginning of the second parak of Krisos. Arba mivin al azadon kishkaga. Four times in the Torah do you bring a karban for even willful violation. And we listed the four earlier in the Masechta. Meanwhile, so it's not often, it's incredibly infrequent, but they're out there. So maybe the Pesha of the Torah is talking about those kinds of averas. For example, Shmias Kol, suppression of testimony, right? We pointed out, even if I know the testimony, and even though I know it's wrong to deny it knowing anything, still a carbon is brought, a carbon, olaviyarot is brought for suppression of testimony. So fine, and there are three others as well. So fine, so the Gemara says, so you see clearly that Pesha can sometimes refer to averos that do require karban. Itmar Nami, and the Gemara says, now this back and forth also not only was with Rav Dimi, but also was with Ravin as well. Right? These two usually come in tandem. Meaning Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and a lot of the discussions that they had are slight variations of one another. Here's an example. Amar Rav Yosi, Amar Reish Lakish, v'hizvada alav eskol avonos b'nei Yisrael v'eskol pishayim l'chol chatasam. So here, this is said over in the name of Reish Lakish, quoting the pasuk regarding the Sdir Mishtaleach. And the same comparison, chataim dumi t'pishayim ha'pishayim d'la b'nei karban mechaper, av chataim d'la b'nei karban mechaper. The Sdir Mishtaleach is only able to provide kapara for those averos that do not require karban, since we're comparing pesha to chet. But if you're on the hook for a classic carbon chatas, so then Yom Kippur doesn't do anything. Yeah, it's still going to have to bring the carbon chatas even afterwards. So Amr Abaye. Now, in our gears, we have the word Abaye. That's probably going to get... Right, Amr Le Abaye. So this is Abaye now talking to Ravin. Ananami Mehadenkra Amre V'akshili Rav Dimi. You know, it's funny. I also thought that was the correct shot, and I said over to Rav Dimi. And you know what your colleague told me? No. Mimai. Dahani pshayim d'la b'nei karban inu, d'ma hanach d'ma nei karban inu, k'dinan arba mivin, al hazadon kishkaga. So Amalei Ravin. So here, Abaye just reviews his question that Rav Dimi challenged him with, and Ravin now is going to respond to the questioner of Dimi. So Amalei Ravin, rov pshayim d'la b'nei karban. So Ravin's response is, okay, but those are four examples of averos that you're going to bring a karban for, bizadon, even with willful violation. Fine, but that's not the rule. Those are the exceptions. So Armalei midi rov ksivi. Yeah, but the pasuk doesn't say the majority. The Torah just simply says pesha. So the Gemara, so Ravin was not thrilled with that answer. Elamar by Meir Resha Dekra. So this is now going to be, for those keeping score, this is going to be our third attempt of citing a pasuk and a drasha that allows us to arrive to the conclusion that Yom Kippur and the Seira Mishaleach is limited in its kapara, meaning it will not be able to provide kapara for a carbon chatos. Now, we're not really going to another pasuk, we're just simply quoting more of the pasuk. And here, by quoting the first part of the pasuk, what did we just add to our list? We had Pesha, we had Chet, and now Avon, so we're adding Avon. Vitanya, Avonos elas donos. Now, the Avon is references donos. V'chenu omer, Avonaba. Right? So we see contextually in Parsha Shlach that the word Avona is referencing a willful violation. So now, here's what we gain. Because now we have the word Pesha and we have the word Chet, but Pesha over here now is superfluous because we've already established that Yom Kippur will be able to provide Kapara for the Avonos. So now you have the word Pesha. Why is it there? Lakshui Lipshaim. So there, it's only to create a Hekesh. That's its only purpose. Ma Pesha'im Delav Menei Karban, Avchatam Delav Menei Karban. Avchatam Demenei Karban, Enu Lo Mechaper. So here now, with this Hekesh in mind, so now Pesha, which generally, there's no carbon brought for Pesha. And I guess you'll say that for Ravin's question that he asked previously, but that's not all. Yeah, but once we're now in a Hekesh, so there's got to be a purpose to the Hekesh. And so over here, the purpose to the Hekesh must be that we have to say that Yom Kippur provides kapar for non-carbon averas. But anytime you have a carbon avera, i.e. a classic chatas, so then Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper. Chayve ashamos toluyim minahanimili. Okay, so that was a long sentence. It was, you know, maybe in violation of a run-on sentence, but thankfully the Gemara did not have English teachers. But but that was a long sentence. But basically, after that one long sentence, we've now just established that Yom Kippur comes and goes, and I was on the hook for a carbon chatas. I'm still on the hook for a carbon chatas. That's what we've established so far. Now, step two. What about Nashim Talui? So now, Nashim Talui, Yom Kippur is going to be a substitution for Nashim Talui. Mina Hanimili, where do we see that from? So, Mina Hanimili, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Kram, Michol Chato Sechem Lifnei Hashem. Chei Shein Makir Bo Ela HaMakom Yom Kippur Mechaper. Ah, so if it's a chait where only Hashem knows whether you violate or you didn't violate, yeah. And that's, of course, Hashem Talui. That's exactly the scenario of Hashem Talui. Did I violate the Avera? I don't know. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So this is the kind of Avera where it's right in the... It's right in the wheelhouse of Yom Kippur. That's what Yom Kippur resolves. So I'm Rav Dechlif Avua de Rav Huna, Mishmei de Rav Kadmaisi Nami Lo Seisi. So the Gemara says, you know what? I now have a drasha for Hashem Talui. So not only was this conversation much shorter, but it could render the previous discussion in the Gemara totally pointless. Not pointless, wrong word. But unnecessary, better word. So it renders the entire previous discussion unnecessary. Because once I have a drasha that tells me that Yom Kippur provides kapara for the Hashem Talui, so that means anything above the Hashem Talui, anything outside the Hashem Talui, doesn't. Done. So, and the Gemara now makes that point. So, Kadmai Sanami, Lo Saisi. I didn't need that previous discussion. Lemifshite, Lo Midravdimi Velo Midabaye. And you know, we really struggled. We had Ravdimi's approach, we had Abaye's approach. Both weren't satisfied with the other's approach. We don't need any of that. So look, what did we just establish? What's in Yom Kippur's wheelhouse? The chait that I don't know, but only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So umina. So the Gemara says, okay, now with that drasha, we can easily now take one step forward. But it's the kind of chait I know about, i.e., I know I ate chaylev, but I was a shogeg. I forgot that it was usher. I forgot that that was chaylev. But in other words, I know I ate the chaylev. So under those circumstances, Yom Kippurim is not mechaper. Done. And it could really be rendered that simple. So the Gemara says, so good. So now we've established, in terms of carbon, what Yom Kippur is good for, and what Yom Kippur does not help you for. So as far as the Hashem Talui, Yom Kippur is going to provide kapara. As far as a chatas or an asham, Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper for. Fine. With that we've established. Gemara now advances the discussion. What about Malkus? You're chayv Malkus before Yom Kippur. Now, the basin just simply, there was no scheduling on the docket for you to receive your Malkus, and then Yom Kippur comes and Yom Kippur goes, and now you go to basin, you say to basin, look, I'm fine. I'm good. I'd love to receive my Malkus, but I got Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur provided kapara. Am I right So the Gemara tells us, no, you're not right. So you're still going to be chayv the Malkus after Yom Kippur. Pshita, the Gemara says, that seems to be an obvious point. Maishna mechayv echatos v'shamos v'adayin. So the Gemara says, look, you're chayv a karmen chatos, you have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Same thing with the nasham v'aday, you have to bring it after Yom Kippur. Malkus as well, what's the difference? So sakadat chamina hasam mimonahu. So the Gemara says, look, over there, that's a mammon obligation. Yom Kippur is not able to remove your mammon obligation. But over here we're talking about your physical body. Meaning, what's the punishment of Malkus? It doesn't cost money, just costs you pain and bodily harm. But it doesn't cost money. So the Gemara would think, okay, Yom Kippur can provide a substitution for that. And if I could just add to the Gemara, meaning if you think about it, how can Yom Kippur provide substitution for that? Because there is affliction in Yom Kippur. Meaning we afflict our bodies. That's in fact the purpose, not purpose, but the, right, the, that's the, one of the defining defining themes of Yom Kippur. So now that I have inu aguf, so maybe that would provide, I'm just, you know, helping the havamina. That would provide the kapara that the malchus would provide. That's a havamina. So emalo kamash malan. So the Gemara says, okay, and that's the chiddush. The chiddush is that Yom Kippur provides kapara for the, Yom Kippur does not provide kapara for the malchus. So v'hanan tanan, okay, the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? And this is the Mishnah Shavuos, and we saw it earlier in our Masechta as well. Hoda v'lo hoda, ase v'lo sase. What Yom Kippur provides kapara for are the averes you know, the averes you don't know, the neglect of positive commandments, the violation of Isurim. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's clear Yom Kippur provides kaparas for the lavim. And presumably, the malchus you no longer need. So the Gemara says, lo kashya, had asrubay, had lo asrubay. So the Gemara says, okay, look, it's a very easy distinction. If it's, let's say, I violate a lav, and there was no hasra, there was no witnesses, there was no warning, right? There was no witnesses, or there was no warning. So under those circumstances, so now what? So now, right, there's no malchus to receive. I now have an aver on my slate. So for that, Yom Kippur's mechaper. But if there was Edom, and there was Asra, and now, based in now, required me to get Malkus, I need to get Malkus, and Yom Kippur is not going to affect that at all. Even after Yom Kippur, I need to get Malkus. Elamiata. So the Gemara now is going to launch into five questions. Meaning now it comes out that Yom Kippur provides a kapara for those things which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about, Hashem Talui, does not provide a kapara for those things which you know about, Chataos and Hashamos, does not going to be able to substitute for Malkus. You're going to have to receive that as well after Yom Kippur. And now the Gemara is going to launch into five questions where seemingly this should fit under the category of you don't have to bring them after Yom Kippur. And the halacha is you do have to bring them on Yom Kippur. And so we're going to ask the five questions and we're going to answer. It's going to be the same answer for every one of them. In fact, my best guess is that you probably would guess the answer after even the first question. Suffik yoledesh avar la yom kippur lo saisi. So the Gemara says, let's say I have a woman who gave birth. She does not know what she gave birth to. It was a discharge. It came out. And then with no investigation of what actually came out. And so the remains are lost. And now we don't know. Did she give birth? Did she not? Does she need to bring a carbon? Does she not need to bring a carbon? And why is that critical? It's critical because with her now bringing her carbono, she will then be allowed to go back into the Beis HaMikdash area and eat carbonos. So let's say it's a safek. So this is something she doesn't know about, meaning it's something which only a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows about. Now Yom Kippur comes and goes. Does she have to bring her carbonos after Yom Kippur? So principally the answer would be no, but the halacha is she does. Lo taisi, da hakippur ala Yom Kippur and d'chei she'en makibo, ela makom hu. So I'm Rav Oshia, so that's the question. What's the answer? The answer is l'chol chatosam v'lo l'chol tumasam. So the Gemara says, no. The only thing that Yom Kippur substitutes for is chait. We're not talking about chait over here. We're talking about tumah. Her requirement to bring karbanos is only so that her tumah gets resolved. For that, Yom Kippur does not substitute. Now the shita of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is that a woman who gives birth is a chote. Now, I know that sounds strange, but if you've heard this before, the Gemara quotes and cites this position numerous times throughout Chas. Why is the woman who gave birth a chote? She just fulfilled, although the truth of the matter is the mitzvah per revu is on the man, not on the woman, but my point has not been diminished. She just fulfilled the mitzvah per revu. So she's a chote? So the Gemara says, according to the Rashbi, yeah, she's a chote because at the time she gave birth, she swore, that's it, I'm not going to go through this again, I'm not going to be with my husband again. And so she made a shvua that eventually she's going to have to According to Rashbi, it's not really clear. Override or seek a heter, meaning under the circumstances, you can understand why she said it. But, okay, regardless, in other words, the chayt is that she made a shvua, and she may be in violation of the shvua. So Michael Amemar, you'll let us keep my carbon leash the ruba khilas kadashim hu. Velola khapara. So the Gemara's response is even according to the Rashbi. That doesn't explain the karbana she brings. Meaning, okay, she's a chote. And that might help us understand why it is she brings the karban chatas. But that's not the main function of the karban chatas. The main function of the karban chatas is so that she'd be able to eat karbanos once again. It's to resolve the tumah, even according to the Rashbi. A really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, and as far as the shvua that she made, the tsar leida, that if there's anything to be mechaper for, the tsar leida is there to provide the kapara for her as well. V'lo l'chapara masya, period. Am Rav Ashi avanam intanina isha sheyesh lechata otzahov safik. V'avar la yama kippurim chayevas lavi l'acha yama kippurim nei shemachsharta lecho bezvachim. And it's a Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah says exactly this point. That the purpose of the Olet is bringing her carbon chatas and her Ola, even after Yom Kippur, is because it's machshir her. It's not mechaper, it's for the purposes of hechshir. Elamiyatza safik mitzor sha'avar alav Yom Kippurim lamaisi. So the Gemara says, here's question number two. What about the mitzora? Safik mitzora. Rashi gives an example. You have a white spot in your skin. That's saras. With one more detail. There has to be a white hair in the white spot. Another detail. There has to be a sequence in which first the white hair, then the white spot. But if the sequence is inverted, so then you're not a mitzora. Now, one morning you wake up, there's a white hair, there's a white spot. What was the sequence? I don't know. So that's a classic example of a suffix mitzora. So now, suffix mitzora. So he still has to go through the whole tahara process. Because otherwise he can't go into the base of Mikdash and he can't eat karbanos. And here, we're going to be reviewing the same question and the same answer. So Yom Kippurim la'maisa da'avar la Yom Kippurim d'cheshei makibor la'makom. Now is he a mitzori? He doesn't know and he'll never know. Hashem knows. So isn't that a perfect candidate for Yom Kippur? So Am Rav Oshi l'chol chatasam v'lo l'chol tum osam. Again, it's the same basic point. This is not a kapara issue. This is a hechsher so that he is no longer tamei issue. V'amar Shmuel bar Nachmini Am Rav Yochanan kol alzvayin dvarim negayim ba'im. So the Gemara says, what about the Gemara in Erchin? The Gemara in Erchin, when we learn together, why is a person a mitzara? So the most famous one is Lashon Hara, but there are six other averos that are precipitators towards tsaras. You want to tell me he's not a chote? Why does he have tsaras? Because he's a chote. So the Gemara says, ki maisi lav l'kapara maisi. So the Gemara says, you're right, but that doesn't explain the karbanos he brings post tsaras. Ela l'ashtirui b'achilas kadashim hu. As far as his karbanos that he brings at the conclusion of his tzaras, that is not there for kapara purposes. They're only there for hechsher, to allow re-entrance into the Beis HaMikdash.
You could say having tzaras is...
Right. I was thinking the same thing. Danny, right, I had the same thought. Meaning, just like Rashi said, by the woman who gave birth, her tzar leida is a kapara. So for the mitzora, his tzaras is the kapara. I was thinking the same thing. Safik Nazir. Elamiata Safik Nazir. We're moving along now. This is our third question. So Sha'avar Alav Yom Kippurim Lamaisi Karban. Da Kippur Yom Kippurim. De Cheshe Makibo Ela Makam Hu. So the person's a Nazir. And now, was he Tameh? Not sure. Not sure from Tameh. So, and Yom Kippur comes and goes. And so now, again, same question. Isn't Yom Kippur the perfect way to resolve this kind of Safik? Hashem knows, he doesn't know. And again, the Gemara's response, it's going to be the same response. The karbanos he brings to resolve the suffix is not kapara karbanos, they are hechsher karbanos. So Amar Rav Oshia, l'chol chatosam v'lo l'chol tum'ah. So fine, so it's Yom Kippur is only for chet, not for tum'ah. Ula Rebbe Lazar ben ha-kafar da'amari nazir chotehu, ma'ikal ha-meymar. And Rebbe Lazar kafar says, you know, our nazir is a chote. Abstention from wine, that's wrong. Don't abstain from wine. I know, mixed messages, right here in the daf, right? But obviously, I'll add the words responsibly. Okay, but in other words, but the person who abstains himself from worldly pleasures that are mutter to us, Rav Elazar ben Kafar says that's a wrong hashkafa, and he's a chote. So according to him, isn't our nazir a chote? So the Gemara says, Nazir ki kamaisi karban lav lecha paramaisi. Skip the parentheses, read the brackets. El alamecha alav nezirus taharahu. So it's, again, it's the same basic answer. You're right. According to Rav Elazar ben Hakafar, the Nazir, right, his inability to be able to drink responsibly, and therefore he has to make a neder, and his nezirus. Okay, so he's a chote, fine. But that has nothing to do with the karbanos that he brings. The karbanos that he brings are simply for the purposes of resolution of tuma. That's it. And so we move along. Elamiatza suffix sota shavar la yamakipurim lo saisi da keeper ala yamakipurim. The chechein makirbo ela hamakom. This is now. Sorry, I lost track, but I think this is now our fifth question. Is number four? Yeah, you're right. It's number four. Okay, so this is our fourth question. So what about the sota? Now, the Gemara calls it suffix sota. We have a way to describe suffix sota. It's called sota. Meaning that's, right, that it's a, every sota by definition is a suffix. Although, when we learn Masechta Sota, you remember, right, the woman who actually had adultery with witnesses, she also is called a sota, but that's sota vadai. Meaning, but the classic sota, the one we think about, is the one which is a suffix. She went into a room with another man she was warned not to be with. Witnesses saw the seclusion, but they didn't see anything else. So is she an adulteress? We don't know. So again, it's in Yom Kippur's wheelhouse. It's perfect for Yom Kippur, right? It's something which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and we don't know. Yom Kippur comes and goes. Doesn't that resolve the whole sota issue? And does she not now not have to bring a carbon? That's the question. At this point in time, we can already forecast the answer. It's going to be the same answer. I'm Rabbi Yosha lechol chatasam, velo lechol tumasam. So it's the same answer. The purpose of the carbon is not there for chait, it's for resolution of tuma. Okay. Tuma over here, by the way, a slight variation of what we meant earlier. Earlier we meant tuma tahara vis-a-vis beis hamikdash. Over here, tuma tahara meaning vis-a-vis her husband. But it's not, that's its purpose. The Gemara gives other ways to formulate answers to the question of sota. Abaye amar, boel makir bo. Abaye says, look, you want to tell me that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about that? That's not true. Other people know about it, right? The man that she was with in the room. He knows what happened in the room. So this is not within just the domain of only Hashem knows. Others know. And Rava Amar Sota ki masi levar avon ka'asya. And Rava also gives another way to respond to this question. He says, look, the mincha and the whole procedure of the sota is for birur. It's just for purposes of clarification. Now, it's not totally clear exactly how Rav is deviating from the original answer of Rav Oshia, meaning it's not there for kapara. It's just there to tell us what happened so that she can, if in fact nothing happened, she can go back to her husband. Elamiata Agla Rufa Shavar La Yom Kippurim. So here we are now at the fifth question of the Gemara. Now, the Agla Rufa. Now, built into the bread of Agla, baked into the bread, sorry. Didn't even use the cliche correctly. Baked into the bread of Agla Arufa is Suffolk, obviously. We found somebody dead, killed, murdered, and we don't know who did it. And so we go through the procedure of Egla Arufa. Okay, now, let's say the town didn't get their act together, the Ziknei Heir didn't get their act together, and now Yom Kippur has come and gone. So can we dispense with the Egla Arufa? And again, the answer is going to be no. But why not? This is something which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So Amar Abaye, what did I do? I skipped a little bit, didn't I? Sorry, let me just find my spot. Egla Rufa Shavar La Yom Kippurim Vechule. Thank you. I didn't skip anything. The Gemara just basically said at this point in time, like, you know the drill. So Vechule. So Amar Abaye Horig Makir. So, again, there are ways to respond to this. It's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu who knows this and nobody else. The murderer knows who did it. I mean, he's the murderer. And Rava Amar Amakar La Arut Lo Yichuper La Dam Asher Shafach Ba. And Rava cites a pasuk that also helps us arrive at the same conclusion. The pasuk says, this pasuk in Bamidbar is talking about Ritzicha b'mezid. Ula aretz lo yichuper l'adam asher shafach ba. You know, over here, don't think that for Ritzicha b'mezid that we could go through this Egla Rufa process and that would be good. No. Kapara is only achieved when we take the murderer and we execute the murderer. Repapa amar makra kaper lamcha Yisrael. The Gemara gives another source that tells us that Yom Kippur is not going to substitute for the Egla Arufa. Why? Because the pasuk says, Kapar Lamcha Yisrael. That's in the parsha of Egla Arufa. This is what is said by the Ziknei Ha'ir. Provide Kapar Ru'uya Kapar Zusha Techaper Al Yotzei Mitzrayim. Such an interesting Gemara. We've seen this Gemara also back in Sota. And that is that when it comes to, when it comes to Egla Arufa, Egla Arufa not only works for this possible, not possible, no. For this Suffolk murder. Meaning, when I say Suffolk, meaning we just simply don't know who the murderer is. But we know there was a victim, clearly. And let's say there was one that happened historically. And for whatever reason, they didn't go through the Egla Rufa procedure. And even if it goes all the way back to Yotzei Mitzrayim, now why are we going historically back so far? You'll see. You'll see in just a moment. The point is that the Egla Arufa that we're offering now, hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, is going to provide kapara for the historical unsolved murders. To which the Gemara now says, the point is obvious. How many Yom Kippurs have we gone through for going back to Yotzei Mitzrayim? Well, just count up the years, and that's the number of Yom Kippurs that we had. Clearly, you went through at least one, a lot more Yom Kippurim. And the point being that Yom Kippur didn't affect it at all. Meaning Yom Kippur did not resolve the kapara. The kapara is only achieved through the Egla Rufa. That's already Vayter. So Ruya Kapar Zushika Yotzei Mitzrayim. Sorry. Put a period right after the word Yotzei Mitzrayim. Yotzei Mitzrayim. Why are we going all the way back to Mitzrayim? I confused Rashi and the Gemara. I thought the Gemara was going to give us the reveal. It's Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here. There's no more Tosos. Right from here until the end of the Masechta. So we lost Tosos. When I say we lost Tosos, by the way, I'm not exaggerating. You look at the last Tosos, which is on the previous Amud, and he writes, Sarich Iyon Shalom Matzasi Tosos Yoser. So the publisher now is like going through trying to organize the Gemara and the Rashi and Tosos, formatting it on the page, and he's now, right, there's still a lot of days left in the Daf Yomi, not a lot, but three. But still, there are 3 days left, and he's like, where's the Tosos for the rest of this Masechta? Lamatasi. Okay, right, they're there, meaning, but unfortunately, right, lost. Anyway. Yeah, okay, yeah, right. Right, but I don't think Yom Kippur is going to clarify that issue. So the Yotzei Mitzrayim, so Rashi on the top of the outside column, second line, Dichsiv Asher Padisa. So because in the formula that said by Zikna Yair, it says Asher Padisa, pigeon. So when were we Nifta? So Vaharei, Kama Yom Kippur Mavar Elayim, Vadayin Hein Tzrichim Lekapar Zu, Im Nimsa Chalal Bineyim. For the unsolved murders, going all the way back to our pigeon, meaning Yetzias Mitzrayim, so you still need the Egla Rufa. Sorry. Period. Now let's wrap up. Let's do a little bit more for this morning, or let's do a lot more in a little bit of time. Okay, fine. You talk me into it. Hashada Amar Chait. Sorry. Okay. Now new question. Hashada Amar Chait Sheimakir Bo Ella Amakim Yom Kippur Mechaper Emakim Misyad Delei Basu Yom Kippur Nami Lo Maisichatas. Gemara now makes the following suggestion. Look, it's been now established more than 5 times over that if it's a kind of chet that only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows about, that's in the domain of Yom Kippur. All right, what about the 5 exceptions that we just learned? Okay, they're exceptional, as we just learned. But in other words, but the standard is that if there's a avera, like the eating of chalev, which I don't know if I violate the issur or not, so Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur goes, Yom Kippur resolve that kapara. I no longer need to bring an ashram talui. So here's the Gemara suggestion. Let's say I ate chalev, not suffik. I ate chalev, but I just didn't realize yet. I didn't become aware yet that I ate the chalev. I ate the chalev on Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes, Yom Kippur goes. After Yom Kippur, someone said to me, oh, you ate that plate? Oh no, that was chalev. So here's the Gemara suggestion. It's not a suffik anymore. It's a vadai. But over the course of Yom Kippur, I didn't know about it. Who knew about the avera? Oh, at this point, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about the Avera. So the Gemara's suggestion is, let Yom Kippur resolve that. It's not a Suffolk, it's just that I wasn't made aware of it over the course of Yom Kippur. But isn't that in Yom Kippur's wheelhouse? That's exactly what Yom Kippur's there for. So the Gemara responds, Amar Reb Zeir Lamasis Amar. You can't say that. Dichsiv Kra Yidia. So, Yidia Gabe Chatas. V'gabei nasi, v'gabei tzibur, so utzricha. So the Gemara says, look, the Torah says yidia, and the Torah doesn't say yidia once, but it says it 3 separate places. The carbon chatas brought by the individual, the standard carbon chatas, and the carbon chatas brought by the king. That's the chatas nasi, and the chatos brought by the tzibor. That's the parhelm davar shel tzibor. So every time the Torah introduces us to the Torah says the word yediya, which means that the Torah went out of its way to say that even after Yom Kippur, and even if the yediya occurs after Yom Kippur, you still need to bring a karban chatos. Now, the Gemara's response to this is, you're right, it says it three times. But I'm telling you, none of them are open for drushas. Because we need all three of them. And what the Gemara now is going to do is its classic discussion of, they're all necessary, and since they're all necessary, so therefore they're not open for drushas, so we don't have a drusha for our question. Now, how come they're all necessary? Why can't I learn one from the other? So that's going to be like the next 20 lines of the Gemara. And it's the classic Gemara methodology. So the Gemara says, look, if it's just a chatas yachid, female animal, when it comes to the nasi, and when it comes to the parhelm davar shel tzibor, male karbanos. So I can't learn out from yachid to the nasi or to the tzibor. So the Gemara says, why not the Torah just say yediya by nasi, and that be it? So the Gemara says, yachid minasi, lo asi. No, I can't do that, because the ikla mifrech mal nasi, she can't aim b'shmias kol. You know, when it comes to the king, he's never going to bring a carbon of suppression of testimony. Do you know why? Because a king doesn't testify. Second parak of Sanhedrin. We learn together that a king is not going to be part of the judicial process. It is kind of like the separation of the judicial branch and the executive branch. It's kind of like that. But, you know, I'm just using my American sensibilities in terms of just, you know, seeing the Gemara. It should be the other way around. But, okay. I'll give myself Musar later. V'tzibor minasi lau asi de'ikah lemifrach mal nasi shekein b'karbono nekeva. And also we can't learn that tzibor from nasi because mal nasi shekein b'karbono nekeva. Because when it comes to the nasi, most of the time the carbon he's going to bring is a male carbon. But under one circumstance, i.e. avodah zarah, his carbon is going to be a female carbon. When it comes to the community, the parhelm davar shel tzibor, it's exclusively male. Nichlov gabi tzibor v'naisi yachid v'nasi minas. So the Gemara now a final attempt. How about just writing the word yediya by tzibor, and the other two can now be learned from tzibor. The Gemara says no, it can't. Ikal amifrech mal tzibor shekein ein chayavin ella al helam davar im shigas maisa. So the Gemara says, you know, by tzibor, very unusual carbon chatas. In order to require the carbon chatas of the tzibor, the parham davar shel tzibor, I need an erroneous psak of Beis Din, a psak. And then I need the majority of the Jewish people to follow that erroneous psak of Beis Din, like we discussed extensively back in Horios. So the Gemara says that's of course not true by the Nasi. It's not true by Yachid. You don't need a psak. You just need to have forgotten that it was Asar. So Michad Yediyah Lo Asi Taisi Chad Yediyah Mitarte. So the Gemara says, okay, it's fine. So I can't use one and say one by itself would be enough. But of the three Yediyahs, wouldn't two be sufficient? And if we can establish that two is sufficient, we'll learn the rule from the two, and the third one now is superfluous, and it allows us for our drasha. Sorry. Lo nichtav yediya gabi yachid v'taisa minasi v'tzibor. So the Gemara says, look, why not have the Torah write yediya by nasi and tzibor? And yachid is unnecessary. The Gemara says, no, we can't do that. Ikal mefrach mal nasi v'tzibor shekein einan b'shmias kol. The king doesn't testify, the tzibor doesn't testify, only a yachid testifies. So fine. So that's not going to work. So Tamar b'yachid sheyeshem b'shmias kol. Lo nichta kray yediya gabit tzibor v'taisim yediya diyachid v'nasi. How about putting the collection of yachid and nasi together? And wouldn't that be enough? The Gemara says, no, it's not enough. Ikla mifrach. Mal yachid v'nasi sheken yesh b'karben nekeva. Tamar b'tzibor she'en b'karben nekeva. The carbon tzibor exclusively only comes from male animals. That's not true by Yachid, which is exclusively female, and it's not even true by the king. The king normally brings a male animal, but for Avodah Zarah, brings a female animal. Okay. Lo nichtov gabi nasi v'taisim yediya di Yachid v'tzibor. So the Gemara says, what about Yachid v'tzibor? How about the word yediya by just Yachid and just tzibor, and that should be enough, right? And actually, it is. You're right. That's enough. Because my parachta, because over here, whatever deficiency one has is going to be covered by the other. Skip the parentheses. So as far as Shmias Kol, so you're right. The Tzibor doesn't testify, but the individual does. And you want to tell me, yeah, but the individual only brings a female? Okay, but the paralam davar shel sibur brings a male. So ad is lahon yidia lo mechayev lamali. Lamali dichtiv yidia gabe nasi. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have just now, it's been a long exercise, but we've done it. We have now shown that the three of the three yediyas, you only needed two of the three. I only needed the Torah to have written yediyah by Tzibur and by Yachid, and that would have covered it. And now we have an extra yediyah by Nasi, and so now it's open for Drasha. Now it's open for Drasha, good. And so now, to finish, a very long sentence. So now the Gemara has shown us that it is that the that we have that extra idea, and it's for the following drasha. The drasha is, now let's remember, and it's very possible that after all this, you forgot what the forest was, right? There were a lot of trees there, but the forest is that what happens when I violate an iser kares, and I only find out about it after Yom Kippur. It's not a suffix, it's just I didn't become aware of it till after Yom Kippur. So is Yom Kippur going to be mechaper? The answer is no, it's not going to be mechaper because of that extra yediyah that's mentioned in the Torah by the Karban Nasi. Abai Amar Idlo Kasiv Yediyah Gabi Nasi Miyachiv Tzibur Lo Asi Mishum Dika LaMifrach. Abai says, look, that was a really lovely conclusion. Abai says, but I don't buy into it. Why? Because even if using the yediyah by Yachid and by Tzibur, I still think that there's a deficiency that will not carry over to Nasi. What's the deficiency? Shekein ein osin lihishtanos. Tomar benasi sha'asu lihishtanos. Tzibur karban never fluctuates. It's always going to be par. The yachid karban never fluctuates. It's always going to be a si'ira or a kifsa. However, when the king's karban, it's going to fluctuate. When is it going to fluctuate? Retirement. Right? The king says, you know what? It's been a nice rain. I'm going to hang it up. It's such a funny Gemara. I'm gonna hang it up. And he's no longer the king. So as a king, he would be bringing a seir, a male goat. But now that he hangs it up and now he's retiring, so now he's a yachid. It's a little bit strange, by the way, because generally in halacha, we see that once somebody gets an elevated position, so it doesn't come down. Now that's true by Kohen Gadol. It is true by Kohen Gadol. It's very clear from our Gemara, it's not true by a king. Okay. It's really interesting. And by the way, if you think about Abaye's point, what do you mean a Nasi doesn't fluctuate? Can't the Nasi become the king? Can't the Yachid become a king? Meaning, just like a king can become a Yachid, it's possible for a Yachid to become a king. Okay, so there's a lot to think about in this line of Gemara. So Ela Amar Abaye, but we're just going to finish Abaye's point. Ela Amar Abaye Mehacha. So the Gemara says, but rather, here is the source, meaning, again, we're looking for a source of Yom Kippur being unable to be mechaper for an avera that you didn't know about over the course of Yom Kippur, and you only find out about it after Yom Kippur. So, michti mitzvos yalfe mehadade. So it's exereshava of mitzvos. Kaven di yalfe mehadade lamali dechasov shalosh yedios gabi yachiv gabi nasiv gabi tzibur. So we have exereshava, meaning this idea that we need another drasha for Nasi, and another drasha for Yachin, another drasha for Tzibur, Abai's point is, I don't need it. No. Why? Because I have a Gzera Shava. The Gzera Shava now interlocks all three of them together. Whatever's true by one is going to be true by the other. Meaning, obviously, we're talking about the larger halachic themes. Meaning, obviously, details are different. Nasi is male. Yachid is female. But in terms of the larger points of when is the carbon required, so they're all linked together. And through the Gzera Shava, once they're linked together through Gzera Shava, I don't need the Torah's usage of Yediyah becomes superfluous. And now the point is going to be the same point.
What
do
you
need three?
You need only one.
Right. Okay, good. It's a good question. Lav al hadin chei let's stop over here. The hour is late. So let's just finish with Abai's point. Tomorrow, we'll start with the words Tanehu. Okay. Let's just quickly recap our day today, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. Today, simple questions of Yom Kippur being mechaper for a definitive carbon chatos or a definitive asham. So Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper. You're still going to be on the hook to bring it after Yom Kippur. How do we know that? A lengthy discussion on the back end of Chaf Hamid Beis. Rav Dimi gave a suggestion. Abai gave a suggestion. Ravin got into the discussion as well. But basically, various approaches in terms of darshaning. How about Asham Talui? For an Asham Talui, Yom Kippur will substitute for the Asham Talui. How do we know that? So the Gemara there gave a very decisive drasha. And on top of that, the Gemara says, once I know Asham Talui, Yom Kippur is going to be Mechaper for, so that means that the Asham Vada, Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper for. Fine. So that was our first discussion today. The Gemara says, what about Safek Yoledes? And for that matter, Safek Yoledes, Safek Mitzora, Safek Nazir, Safek Sota, Safek Egla Rufa. So what about Yom Kippur? Is that Yom Kippur going to provide Kapar for those?
No.
And the answer is five times over, no. No five times. And why? Because those are not Kapara Karbanos. Those are Tumah Karbanos. Although I say that, I'm thinking that's not true by Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is Kapara. But we have a drasha that tells us that the Egla Rufa is the only viable way to provide Kapara for the unsolved murder. The Gemara wants to know, what about a chait that was not a suffix, it was a vadai, you just didn't discover it till after Yom Kippur? What is Yom Kippur going to be able to resolve that? And the answer there as well is no, it's not. And how do I know that? That's a long answer. That was the Yediya three times over in the Torah, by Yachid, by Nasi, by Parhalam Davar Shel Tzibor. Are all three necessary? The Gemara made the argument, they're not all necessary. How are they not all necessary? And that's where the answer gets a little bit long. But to succinctly summarize, Yom Kippur is not going to resolve that, and therefore you have to bring your carbon chatos after Yom Kippur.